You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
The United Nations Committee on Torture recently released a report requesting the New Zealand government reinvestigate torture claims at the former psychiatric hospital Lake Alice. The report is a result of a complaint from 2017 by Victor Boyd of independent watchdog group Citizens Commission on Human Rights Watch on behalf of a previous patient of the facility. The UN has upheld the complaint, recommending the government conduct a prompt, impartial and independent investigation into all allegations of torture and ill treatment at Lake Alice, as well as, where appropriate, the filing of specific torture and all ill treatment charges against perpetrators and the application of the corresponding penalties under domestic law. The Abuse in Care Royal Commission of Inquiry has announced it would investigate the allegations, but they have said that they will not make any findings, civil, criminal or disciplinary liability, as recommended by the UN. Mike Ferris is the director of CCHR New Zealand, and Deb Rawson spoke with him to find out more. Also, please note, this conversation contains discussion of torture, including electrocution and sexual assault.
Okay, so Paul Zinfeld, the complainant, he applied for the government's payment in 2001-2 period, and he was in the second round of claimants. And when the government paid him out, they had deducted a certain fee for their own lawyers, and he noticed this and objected and took the government to court and won the case and got paid the full amount. So he's a very strong activist for the Lake Alice cases. And after those payments, we then took a number of those cases and sent them to the police, because there was no accountability being looked at in terms of who was doing this to the children and the nature, or even the criminal nature, of what was being done. And so we took some cases to the police, and then the lawyer, he sent several more cases to the police and paid them. The police essentially sat on those cases, interviewed one of them as representative of the rest, and said in 2010 there was no case to be answered for, and gave various reasons why. We consider that that was appalling, and Paul did, because he had filed his case with the police as well. So then when he applied to the police for their records of investigation into his case, it was noticed, and this was 2015, it was noticed that the police actually did say that there may be a criminal case to be answered for, and then decided not to prosecute. So then he and us, we thought, well, okay, we've pretty much done all the things that we could do inside New Zealand. We could now take this to the United Nations. Now, prior to that, this is quite a big important step.
Yeah.
In 2012, Paul, along with the previous director of CCHR, Steve Green, both went to Geneva to meet the Committee Against Torture to discuss the case with them directly. That wasn't a formal complaint. That was just a representation. And the UN at that time was saying to the government, you must investigate these cases, you know, with a view to prosecution of the perpetrators, or with the legal capacity to prosecute, which really means a police investigation.
And now they've finally released this decision.
Yes.
Okay, and just going back before we get to what the decision was and the importance of this, what happened to Paul the complainant and other children incarcerated at Lake Alice?
So they were incarcerated, I believe, years 1972 to 1979. They were in the Lake Alice Child and Adolescent Unit. It was run by psychiatrist Dr. Selwyn Leakes. And he was using an electric shock machine, an ECT machine. And he was electric shocking the boys, who were some, we know of one as young as 4. Most of them were around 12, 13, 14 years of age. He was electric shocking them on various parts of their bodies and also on the head. And he was using the ECT machine on the head in an unmodified form, so they weren't given anesthetic or relaxant, but it would knock them unconscious with the force of the shock. And so these boys, and it shows in the records, were being given electric shocks for things like wetting the bed, running away, smoking cigarettes.
So as a form of punishment.
Absolutely. And that's really why the whole, all of the cases had to be looked at collectively to see the uniform and systemic abuse.
Right, but instead the police only looked at one case.
Yes.
So the government, including the police, failed to respond effectively, though. How did they end up responding? So they had the Royal Inquiry, and the police also decided not to prosecute.
Okay, so the first inquiries into what happened at Lake Ellis was in 1977, there was a case of a Niuean boy, and there was a magistrate's inquiry, and he looked at that one case, and that was a farce, because they said that really the problem was that CCHR back then in 77 was making media about the electric shocking of children, and that we were the problem, not what was going on there. That's just nuts. And they also said that giving electric shocks to children without anaesthetic was okay because their bones were more supple to render. And so that was one case, and then the Ombudsman looked at a separate case. The Ombudsman's inquiry, shortly after, was a little bit better because he got inside the issue of consent and were these children and their parents consenting to what was happening, criticised the lack of consent, but there was still no real search and investigation. One of the boys, or maybe it was two, went to the medical council a little bit later, and they came out with a story which has been verified by several others. Now, the one boy who was a sexual offender inside the units to the other boys, the psychiatrist got these boys to come up to the room where he was administering the electric shocks and allowed them, the victims of this kid, to administer electric shocks themselves. Some of these electric shocks, I've got to say, were on the genitals. Several of the boys received electric shocks on the genitals. This real macabre kind of sexual abuse thing happening. But the medical council dismissed that. They absolutely dismissed it when they heard Leakes' evidence, which was in itself bizarre, I've got to say. And he thought it was a form of closure for the other boys to be able to give this kid an electric shock. In fact, he was trying to make them like himself.
Right. So I read that Leakes, the head doctor of the unit, he left for Australia before any action could be taken in New Zealand against him. So with no avenues through, allegedly no avenues through medical, civil or criminal ways, would you say that the government has sort of managed to avoid culpability in a way?
Yes, absolutely. And this is really the problem, and that's what kept us and these the people that we represent from Lake Ellis, that's what kept us going, is that if this were a vet at a zoo giving animals electric shocks, there would be an outcry, all kinds of things happening. But this is a psychiatrist trying to justify what he was doing.
And a psychiatrist who was allowed to keep practicing in Australia until 2006.
Yeah. And the only reason he quit then was because we put pressure on the Victorian Medical Board to investigate him.
With what the UN is now recommending, do you hope that he may be held accountable in some way through this?
Yes, indeed. We all hope that he'll be made accountable. Just like any other individual, no one should be above the law and no profession or professional should be above the law. And I think that that's where these people have sort of got themselves into this kind of privileged position where they couldn't be not face some kind of true justice.
So just going forward to what the UN is now recommending, what have they recommended in their report?
have recommended a prompt, thorough and independent investigation into the matter. Mm. And impartial, that's right, into all allegations of torture and ill treatment made by the complainant, including, where appropriate, the file of specific torture and ill treatment charges against perpetrators, and the application of the corresponding penalties under domestic law.
Do you see the government responding effectively to this?
I do. I think that it's now time to take responsibility and to prosecute the case in a fair and just way.
Because I think some would say it's so long ago, and with the apologies it's no longer relevant, but it's still something that's never been resolved.
It's completely relevant.
So do you hope to see just the head psychiatrist, Selwyn Leakes, held accountable, or are there others?
I think it's the duty of the police to see who else was involved and to conduct proper interviews with people who were in the unit and establish the facts and then work forward from there. And if it involves other staff, then yes, absolutely.
What was CCHR bringing forward this complaint and being almost the first to have exposed everything that happened at Lake Ellis? I was wondering what the purpose of CCHR as an organisation is and how it was founded.
So its purpose is to bring human rights into the field of mental health.
Mm-mm.
And to make human rights applicable in that area so people can have recourse with rights to justice, choices within mental health and so on. One other last thing is that many of the Lake Ellis victims, they did receive these ex gratia payments, but a very large number of them thought, well, that's just money. That's not really what this is about. So many of them have suffered since that time from that abuse, with their lives, I'd have to say, quite ruined. They would like to see that those people responsible are held accountable, just like anybody else would be in any other setting.
Exactly.
So this is a really important thing to consider when it comes to abuse in the field of, in this area of mental health and accountability.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.